The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said to his disciples, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Have you heard of the expression, the apple never falls far from the tree? You have? Yes, I have too. It's an old proverb that means that children tend to inherit characteristics from their parents. Now, I suppose in those days, they did not understand DNA, but they were spot on. Even though this proverb is often used negatively, the flip side is also true. A good apple obviously comes from a good apple tree. And I see this thinking in Jesus' description of his relationship with us. That's why he once said, who is my brother? Who is my sister? Who is my mother? And then he replied, he is the one who is doing the will of my Father. Then if you are doing the will of my Father, if you are my brother and my sister and my mother, then indeed, you have my divine human DNA. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. This picture is fascinating to me because we learn about the relationship between God the Father and God the Son, and there's a term for it. It's called perichoresis. It's a term referring to the constant relationship of the three person of the triune God to in between one another. The way it was explained to me when I was in seminary, it was more like a harmonious dance. It's a harmonious dance. If you dance with someone and you are out of step, guess what happens? You know, somebody could fall down. And so he says it's almost like a harmonious dance, and the Father does something that the Holy Spirit and the Son understands exactly what's happening. There is no fear. There is always a kind of understanding. It's very hard to completely understand that in my human brain. But if there was a way to describe such divine mutual relationship in human terms, this imagery would fit. You see, there is a vine tree, and there's the gardener, and there's the branches. And I'm very much interested in this picture of the gardener and the vine. From the very moment that seed is sown in the ground and the tree comes out, and there has been so much that has happened for that tree to become a real tree that we see and that can provide fruit to us. There is so much that has happened there. And the Father, who is the gardener, has been involved from the very beginning, from the sun and the rain, and there's so much care that went into the growth of that tree. I see exactly the kind of character of this divine unity and love between the Father and the Son, of which I think Jesus wants us to have with him. The Father, the relationship between the Father and the Son, and the relationship between the Son and us. I want to have that kind of relationship with you. That's what I'm reading into it. We desperately need Jesus. And this is how I read the message. Make no mistake, those who inherit Jesus' DNA are the ones who bears fruit worthy of repentance. And Jesus is simply saying to us, anyone can get this divine human DNA. Just come to me. Believe in me, the Son of God. Repent of your sins and let God's grace, God's life, come to dwell in you. And if I'm reading well, Jesus is saying, look at my relationship with my Father. Learn from it. That's the kind of relationship I want to have with you. Dwell in me as I dwell in you. And for this to happen, we must train ourselves to understand Jesus' words and believe and lead a life worthy of him. And now you may ask, Father Christian, how can we know that God inhabits in you? And especially if that's your spouse, how can I know if God inhabits in you? Read 1 John chapter 4. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us. Profound, isn't it? If we love one another, God lives in us. That means you are a walking miracle. In other words, if you believe in Jesus, and I'm venturing to say, that the blood that runs in your vein acquires Jesus' DNA. You become one with Jesus, who is human and divine, a sibling and a friend, as he calls us, because God lives in you. And believe me, it's the toughest thing to do, to truly love one another. Half the time we are almost about to kick each other, angry at each other. But you know the reason for that, as I have come to discover, it is fear. I didn't know that the reason why we have all those problems is because of fear. When I'm fearing that I'm not worthy of your love, when I fear that if I tell you the truth, you will be mad at me, when we fear that our worth will be diminished, if our lives would not count for anything, then you know what we do? We jump into self-rescue mode. I am defending myself. And because I'm defending myself right now, and then I end up hurting other people in the process. And at the base of all of it, it is fear. We need not fear or act out of fear, but rather act out of love, because your Heavenly Father is love. And this love runs through Jesus into you. Perhaps with this world's conditioning and our constant evolving culture, it has dried up godly love within us over some time now. And it feels as if we are incapable of loving. But don't believe those lies from the enemy. Your Creator is love. He made you out of his image. So you are fully capable of loving. And love. Love some more. And love again. And dish out love generously. And if you feel like there's no more to give, go back into your room and pray to God. I need to be filled some more, oh Lord. And in the morning, go out again and give more and more love as you were given love. Your brothers and sisters are in your training ground. If they are mean to you, if they are mean to you, let me repeat, if they are mean to you, it means you are being tested. Love them anyway. Whenever it's harder to love, just remember these words. How can we say that we love God that we can't see and hate or don't love our brothers and sisters whom we can see? Those who love God must also love their brothers and sisters. And I pray that today, not only we learn from Jesus himself, but also we will go out and bear much fruit, loving others with the love of the Father that runs into the Son and that runs into us. Amen.